Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to invite you to take your seat. And as we turn our lights up, we're getting ready to go ahead and get into the message. This message is going to be a little different. I'm going to deliver it a little different. The service is a little different. Therefore, we're just going to go with a whole lot of different. How about that? Is that all right? We're actually going to go and do two parts to today's message. Two parts. So as we take a look, do everybody have their bulletin card? Good. And what a joy. And all of you are here. We're going to have lunch for all of you, even our guests who are here. Please, guests, do not take away any of the opportunities we have to get to know you better and to enjoy one another's company. But this is, once again, as you and I know, this is our, what we call our Team Member Appreciation Sunday. This is a little bit different than we normally have done. We've never done appreciation like this before. So if you've been with Ainsley and me over the last 21 years, you know we've done everything from going to Knott's Berry Farm for chicken dinner as a group. We've gone and had really movie night here. We've done everything from Miles Square Park dinner. We've done things where we just take our volunteers and we want to thank you. But as team members, we said, you know, we need to really celebrate together you who have dedicated your time throughout this year. So that's why we're going to do it in front of your church, in front of those who are at home as well and watching via live stream. So thank you for taking the time to do just that. So one of the things that we want to enjoy is naturally my opening joke. So here we go. This man called up the church line. The secretary said, "May I help you?" He said, "Well, I'd like to talk to the head hog of the trough." And she said, "If you're talking about the pastor, we never refer to him as the head hog of the trough." He said, "Oh, that's fine, that's fine. I was just wanting to donate $10,000 to the building fund." She said, "What? Hold on, I think Porky just walked in." We want to honor people, do we not? Going to be important. As you know, we've been in a series about building useful character. That's been our series. All of it's been leading up to this. We're going to start a new series for our Thanksgiving month of November, so we hope that you'll be able to join us in person. But today we're going to wrap things up with that because the title of the message is A Kingdom Worker to be Useful. Kingdom Worker to be Useful. One of the things that I have found is that it's always been a joy of mine to be invited to do things for the Lord. And in so doing, I have discovered when I turned 20, I was invited to become a Royal Ranger commander handling 9 to 12-year-olds. And I just didn't know what I was doing. I was a little frustrated with the teaching material. I altered it, but the Lord was using that. And then at age 22, I was the Sunday school teacher for junior high. Now, that's another learning curve. But in all of those, I don't feel I'm cut out for this. But I decided I was going to do those things because of my great heart for Jesus. I would do it for him even if I felt displaced, uncomfortable, or out of sorts. But the Lord used all of that. Matter of fact, I continue to say yes, and it's kind of like this funnel. I just say yes to all these things, and over time, the Lord seems to like bring all those things together to my call. It's just been an amazing journey in seeing what God does. So you take a look at this, you might say, "Well, I don't know if I'm anywhere near what I should be doing for God." But I'll tell you, he'll use what you have journeyed with. Or maybe some of you are still determining where God fits in your life, and you're here today, or you're watching online, and you're trying to determine, man, I wonder if God is real. So you could see that's a real start of the journey. We hope that you get that affirmative, yes, I'm all for Jesus. But you're going to find everything works together for good to those who love God. So when we look at these things just like that, it's wonderful because God uses serving in such a way. We're talking team member appreciation, kingdom workers, but we just would call it basically serving. That's really what we would say, okay, I know what that term is, but man, there's something about people in this room who know Jesus, and they're all about the kingdom of God. It was Jesus who came. Hey, make sure you make changes because the kingdom of God is at hand. And there's something of the kingdom when we start to allow God to use us. That's when we start to see miracles happen for that other person, that you are being used and channeled by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit, to see miracles happen. That's the joy of serving. So as we open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, let's begin with verse 11. And let me just ask, Lord, open not only your word to us, it's a closed book unless we have you help us. Open your word to our hearts. We really want to see some good things today in Jesus' name. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it just says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. How should we serve the Lord? Enthusiastically. When I saw that, I thought, man, I guess I better step it up a notch. And that's going to be important. Check this one out. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, so talking to Christians, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, always working what? Enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do is ever useless. And that's why we've determined over the years to want to thank our team members. Even if you have done really no service-oriented aspects this year, I would count that many of you have served in capacities over the years, and nothing is ever wasted with the Lord. So how do we develop those good areas of being a kingdom worker? Here we go. We're going to hit 2 points. Then we're going to take a station break to honor a number of people. Then I'm going to come back for point 3 and 4. Are you ready? I'm ready. Thank you. Number one, think like a kingdom worker. If we don't think like a kingdom worker, guess what? You just won't. You just won't. It's like, who am I? What am I? And I'm telling you, identity is so important. And many times Christians are not sure, where am I? They usually take their identity with, well, I'm some form of a denomination or I attend that church. But kingdom workers have an aspect of understanding. And check it out with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. I love that, don't you? That's why we always want to respect people with great care. There's a masterpiece in the room, and you're it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us. How long ago? Long ago. In other words, you were in the mind of God a long, long time. It's not just about getting you to heaven. If that's the case, you would have said, in Jesus' name, I accept you, beep, and then, and off you go to heaven. Now, I mean, that's the agenda. But there is some things for us to accomplish. And that verse, Ephesians 2:10, says that you have been created anew to do. Everybody say that with me. I've been created new to do. Say that again. I've been created new to do. So we should be doing something for the Lord. So our lives are not our own. That is a West Coast mentality. I'm all for myself. If anybody's going to take care of me, it should be me. But when you've been created new, you realize your great satisfaction, fulfillment is in pleasing God. And pleasing God really is by serving people. So it doesn't matter if you do not know what those good works are. It does not matter. To me, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you will be willing to answer the call. That's the thing. I don't know what I should be doing, but will you answer the call? Because God's word says that you have something. I have accepted the call in my life. And man, there's been great journey and absolute fulfillment, great satisfaction. I just want everybody to enjoy what I've enjoyed in my walk and relationship with the Lord. So we are all gifted in God's kingdom. Check it out with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, 4 says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. I like that, don't you? Man, you never want to... Anyway, well, we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. Now, I love it when the Bible speaks to me like that. Well, Lord, certain things, I'm a part of your body. I'm supposed to do certain things. That's the beauty of honoring our team members and recognize that. So if you've accepted Jesus, his forgiveness, then you really have a place and a purpose. That's just a great reminder. That's important for us. So I believe the word of God, don't you? Whether or not you're doing anything right now, you just have to say, I believe that is true. I believe that is true. I believe that's true. And then that just changes things. And then you have to understand and enjoy. So the gift of undiscovered and underused, well, God will help you with that. He'll help you with that. And it's going to be just fine. I like the fact that if God calls you to do anything, like me working with junior hires, it's like, I don't know about this one. But then he empowers us. Matter of fact, that's what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So if you want to see and experience more power, because I have many of our charismatic crew here, I'm loving that. I want to see the power of God. Then you need to let God use you for that power. Please don't sit back in the bleachers and say, come on, bring it. Because he's given us power. And if that person next to you needs a miracle, and you could be the conduit, you could be the hose that flows. Huh? I am the hose that flows. Are you? Wouldn't that be great? Because God says he's given us power. And that's a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of needs around you. And if you don't participate, how is that power of a miracle going to happen to that person? We could take them to a great service like this. No problem. But wouldn't it be great that God uses you and you get a chance to express and to experience the power of God, the Holy Spirit coming on you just for the sake of that other person? Ooh, it gives me the Holy Ghost goosebumps to know what God can do and wants to do. Secondly, not only train our minds, our thinking, to think like a kingdom worker, we want to train like a kingdom worker. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. You want to think like a kingdom worker. If you haven't been thinking like that lately, it's going to be important because we start training like a kingdom worker, things start happening. But look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Work hard. Say that again. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So he's like a gift giver. He's giving you a desire. I desire to see so much more. I can't do everything. You can't do everything. But that's why we're called the body of Christ. So God gives you a desire. He gave you a desire to be here today. Way to go. How many of us woke up to say, I wonder who God's going to let me be a blessing to today? Most might feel, I hope God has a blessing for me today. This is a different kind of service. So we get a chance and we see that serving pleases him. How many know what it is just to do something? We had Brown Bags of Hope distribution, where I should say some great putting together. Thank you, Koopmans. And I missed it all. They're all done. You had so many wonderful helpers here, but you're also glowy and happy because serving pleases God. We get that feeling of God's smiling approval. And say, well, how do I know what I'm all about? Well, one of the things that we use at Hope Chapel, and it's a part of our Reaching for the Crown, it's the Hope Chapel discipleship journey, is square four, that will begin after the holidays, is learning what our shape is. And you could see on your notes, what your shape is. So you can see that word shape acronym, it's laid out in your notes. What would be your spiritual gift? We're going to discover that. As a pastor who is called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, it's fun to be able to say, hey, what is your gift? If you don't know, we get a chance, that course gets a chance to discover what are the spiritual gifts. You probably have a number of them. H is for heart. What's your heart's desire? Greatest fulfillment is just to do those things that are just so enjoyable, rich, and wonderful. And then A, abilities. You know, there's certain things I want to do. I just don't have that ability. I wish I did. I wish I could really take a ride on a wave and on a barrel and just ride it out. I wish I could, but I would be gobbled up without a life vest. So when we take a look, there's also personality. What is your personality? Sometimes our background brings a great deal of giftings and then actually experience. So when we look here at Psalm 139, we need to know who we are. But it says here, thank you, talking to God, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. It's beautiful to see that. I like Romans 12. Remember Romans 12:4, it says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, we really do need to know and serve according to our shape. That's the beauty of reaching for the crown. We have 34 people going through square three, which is the charismatic Pentecostal doctrine, and Ainsley seems to be crushing it with her teaching. How many of you? Many of you are saying, I've never heard it said that way, but you love to see it in the Word of God. So when people are fulfilled in working for the Lord, it's really pretty exciting. So to find what you do and how that is, pretty great, pretty wonderful. Want to encourage you in that. One of the takeaways personally for me is the privilege I have to meet beautiful people as I say yes to anything that God would have me to do. When I say yes, and I'm still saying yes, I love pastoring. I wish everybody could be a pastor, but don't do it unless you're called. It could be some rocky days. But I have said yes over the years of almost 37 years of lead pastoring, especially to my Four Square family. And we've said yes to a variety of things. For example, being a superintendent in the Low Desert Division, superintendent over churches here, Coastal Division, area pastor overseeing 43 churches at one time. You could see I would get the chance to meet a lot of people. Then I get a chance to be on the board of directors with Pastor Jack Hayford. Met great people, very dedicated people. Served for 11 years on the Four Square Cabinet, continuing to see and meet great people. What a great gift that has been to me, all because I got scared and I just said, you know, if it's God is in it, I'm going to say yes. How can I tell others to say yes and you'll get a chance to see certain things? Serving on committees for Four Square, served on the missions committee for FMI, served on the National Church Health Committee, served on the Urban and Multicultural Committee. These gave me opportunities to meet people, and what a joy. Oh, God is so rich because of people like you and me. That's the beauty of serving. I get to meet people. Now there's this conglomerate of people out there that I at least brush shoulders with, and I just get so stoked because there are so many wonderfully, powerfully rich in the faith and in the spirit people out there. So finally, I whittled down and say, please leave me alone. I want to pastor Hope Chapel. And they stepped in and asked me to serve on what's called the cause committee. That's basically 16 of us to make sure Hope Foursquare continues to be on course. Are we doing the cause of the kingdom? So that's a very minimal area. But I'm meeting people I did not know. And I want you to know even the richness of your own church here called Hope Chapel. That's the beauty of what we have today. And I want to encourage you with that. So as the church continues to grow, we're going to need many, many more people to just step in and step up. We're attempting and enjoying something on a Saturday night service called Surfers Church. So we need many people helping out there, and that's wonderful to be able to step in and to establish those things. We're now going to begin with part three of our message. You know, it would not be the same without a joke, so here's number two. A 92-year-old man was not feeling very well, so he went to the doctor's. And a few weeks later, the doctor spotted him on the sidewalk in downtown Huntington Beach. And he was extremely happy, but he had a young woman by his side. And the doctor says, "Boy, you look so much better." And he said, "Well, doc, I just took your orders. You said to me, get a hot mama and be cheerful." Doc said, "I didn't say that. I said you have a heart murmur and to be careful." Some of you are still thinking about that, aren't you? So, Lord, we want to thank you for the word, and we thank you for just knitting our hearts and the joy and the enjoyment of we are not individuals. We are one body. So thank you for just helping us and speaking to us how to be a part of that and to champion one another in Jesus' name. So you take a look. We want to be able to, once again, to be able to think like a kingdom worker. We want to train like a kingdom worker. It's all about that. That kingdom worker, really, we call it serving. But number three now, prioritize like a kingdom worker. Take a look at that, because making God's kingdom a life priority, that's now where the rubber is going to start meeting the road of traction in a person's life. That's when we get a chance and we sit down and we talk about those are the ones that maybe start leading their own ministry or going off on some foreign soil or field to serve Jesus, because they realize ministry is all about a priority, or those are the ones that are in this room that have really been saying, you know what, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to serve the Lord. Working for the Lord can't simply be something we do if and when it's convenient. It really does require us to take priority. If you men, 24 of us, went to men's retreat last weekend, oh, the beauty and the distinction of just seeing these men interact with each other. But they required their time and making that a priority. And the joy of seeing transformed lives and relationships that did not happen now are happening. It's amazing when those things happen. But I say, I don't want to create guilt in anybody. It's not my style. I just don't do it. I'll let that be the Holy Spirit. Because I recognize that each one of you are extremely busy, you're overwhelmed, work demands, kids at home, sporting events, projects at home, areas if you're a homeschooler, then the demand being everything that's required, and then you're trying to develop relationships and improve on those, you could almost say I'm feeling like I'm trying just to survive. Now, all of us are in that area where we feel like our nose is just above the waterline. But there's something about a kingdom worker that starts to make that area a priority in their lives. If we've been in their survival mode, then it's going to be very challenging. But I'll tell you, to see God work when you give of your life for the kingdom of God, you start to see his help in great ways that you would have never, ever imagined. So there's something about this truth that I have found. If working, serving for the kingdom of God becomes a burden, then I need to stop and reevaluate why that is a burden. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 says, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Take a look at that for a moment. If commanding and serving God, living for God, is really a command, and if that becomes a burden, I need to stop and say, what is wrong with this? Is God's commands unrealistic? Or is my lifestyle I have created unrealistic? So when we look at something like this, making God's kingdom as a worker a priority, I need to evaluate, how am I living my life? So for you and I, this could be a transformational moment where you realize, I probably need to evaluate what I have created in my life. Now, I recognize that there are people that say, well, my family is my first ministry. Man, I agree with that. That is important. But could it also be another ministry besides your family? Because since God creates us to be involved with his body and with what he's doing, could that be in addition to his church and his mission? Maybe the answer isn't binary. Maybe it's both. I'm going to make my family a priority as ministry. Boy, that'd be great. But I'm also called to do something else. And I think as you do that, you're going to find God starts to bring the miraculous. Remember, he gives us the power to do things. And you start to see things happen. If you've not seen somebody saved in your life influence in a while, maybe it's like, Lord, help me. If you haven't seen a miracle happen in a while, Lord, help me to be available to see miracles before me through my availability. Ooh, that's the kind of church we're about. That's what we want to see. So you may have to cut some things out of your schedule in order to make room to be kingdom involved. What would that look like? Well, some, it might be you're needing to come to the 8:30 service in order to get home to watch the NFL schedule. We get it. I like that. But what if our design is, originally, we called something called sit and serve. You sit and get ministry at the 8:30, but you stay around for the 10:30 to serve. Serve in the children's ministry. Serve in some other capacity. I have found an observation when we were in Bible college, many of those students only used their Bible theology classes as their church. They never went to church, and they never got involved in a church. Or they got involved in a big church that really didn't need them. And those people are not in ministry today. I don't know. I'm not another person. All I'm saying is they never enjoyed what it was to meet people and to see the power of God flow through them. We were involved with little churches that just sucked us dry, but man, we understood, again, that funnel. We were saying yes to things, and God was bringing it down to a real purpose. So it's an important journey that I'm describing. I have already been on that journey, and I'm glad that God whittled me down to be the lead pastor, helping others to find their purpose and their calling. So maybe it's helpful if Sundays are a busy day. Wouldn't it be great that you stepped into Wednesday night? Say, I will volunteer Wednesday night. I will step in and be a part of the serve team for Surfers Church. Those are Saturday nights. It's easy to do that. So come, get ministry, and then go and minister. So all godly habits are going to require some prioritizing. Number four, here we go. Rejoice like a kingdom worker. Oh, I just like that one. Pretty simple. It is important for us. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Let's say it again. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, talking to Christians, be strong and immovable, always working enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. That's why this button says, I serve Jesus. I am serving. Where? Where? Hope Chapel. It's at Hope Chapel. I could do other places and go other places, but I'm happy to serve Jesus. So when we take a look at something like this, it's important we get a chance and to see some areas that are really enjoyable. So discovering our shape, it's very fulfilling, very satisfying, very joyful, extremely fun. And part of my passion and enthusiasm is really just to say, man, I feel like I'm doing what God has asked me to do. And you know, nothing, the Bible says, for nothing, anything you do, nothing is ever wasted for the Lord. It's going to be important. I want to just read also 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Please look at that. I am believing, I am contending. When I meet Jesus, I really want to say, Lord, here's my life and what I've given. It was my honor to do these things for you. I want to present something to him. When I come, I know, I don't know what those rewards will be like. I just know God's going to really, really remember what you have done. Nobody else will, but God will. And I know you feel the same way. Lord, here's my life. I present that to you. Here's my works. Maybe there'll be a few people that found Jesus and expressed their own ministry because of the modeling of my life. That would be a joy to present. Lord, I lay it there. It's like the crowns thrown before the throne. Lord, I owe it all to you. That's going to be a great deal of joy. That day will happen. That day, you and I will see Jesus face to face. We will see him. It's going to happen. It will happen. I'm counting on that happening. I want us all to be prepared for that day. We've lived a good life as Americans. What a joy. And this is going to be the only time we ever get a chance to share the gospel with unbelievers. When you get to heaven, everybody will be saved. Work's done. Let's partay. But let's get a chance now and enjoy, because there's work that still needs to be done. Maybe there's areas working with kids, or you like counseling, or you love to feed people, or you love to organize things, or leadership, or want to develop in home groups, or just different things, just to be faithful to what God rewards. And I'm going to close off with Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 37 says, then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison or and visit you? And the king will say, and you can imagine, Jesus is saying that's going to happen to us when he says, you did all these things. I don't remember it. I don't recall. But Jesus remembers. Jesus will remember. You may be overlooked even today. I don't know. You may feel I should have done more or somebody didn't acknowledge. But I'm telling you, the one that really matters will say, the king will say, I tell you the truth. And I love that line. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So we take a look here. We're doing it. We're doing it as unto Jesus. Amen. That's why our button is the way it is. So we get a chance, and we're going to enjoy just the wonderful privilege we have. I really do invite you, once again, let's make sure you would pray about and consider signing up for a service team today. Wouldn't it be great? It'd be wonderful to do that. So, all right. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a song. We're going to come back. We're going to prepare our hearts for this morning's tithes and offerings. And then we're going to pray a blessing over the food, give you some instructions on how that's going to work. But can you just take a moment right now? If you've never given your life to Jesus, that would be the place to do it. That would be the place to do it. And I just want to invite you, especially you who are with us online, you probably are feeling like, where does that journey with serving begin? It begins by surrendering everything to the Lord. And as Romans 12 says, that we become a living sacrifice. Problem with those, they crawl off the altar. But if you're ready to come back, say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And this day, I surrender my life to you. I ask you now, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Help me, Jesus, to live for you. I trust you, Lord, to make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I just ask with a nice show of hands, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or rededicated your life to the Lord, would you just put that hand up and say, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody else over here? Thank you, Jesus. So for those five hands, I think I saw five. Some of them are little. Praise God. And Lord, we want to thank you. May we, as is our custom, embrace with great gratitude, as your word says, when one person turns their life around to you, all the angels in heaven rejoice. This is a good day to rejoice, and we're going to thank the Lord for that. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's sing, and we'll be back for some closing comments and directions. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.